Ultimate Fitness breakout. How many of you guys came in here so that you could get a six pack? It doesn't happen by coming to this breakout, just so you know. I want to go ahead and dispel all rumors. If you came in here thinking that you're going to look like your favorite Instagram model, then you're probably going to be really disappointed by today, just so you know. We are talking about health and fitness, but hey, before we do that, we got to pay the bills. We have been sponsored, so we got to take a quick word from our sponsor really right here.
Check this out, bro. What's that, bro, Haim? I switched to Geico and got more
savings on car insurance?
Yeah, professor, and more, like renter's insurance.
More ways to save. Nice, bro-tata chip.
That's not all, protein shake. Geico has motorcycle and RV insurance, too.
Ooh, that's a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about more, Teddy Roosevelt.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
That's right, guys. We are sponsored by Geico. That's not true. But what is true is that during this breakout, I'm going to try and talk for about 20 minutes-ish. And then I've got three of my good friends that are here to help talk to you about, answer your questions about health and fitness. And so if you have questions about health and fitness, we're putting a number up here. This number, you're going to want to text this number. It's going to go to a Google account that our good friend Rebe Long is going to be monitoring. She's going to try and compact your questions into like similar questions so we can answer as many of your questions as we possibly can. And then you have questions about how we answered your questions. We'll be around here later on. I'm going to just see if I can say questions three more times. So this is where you're going to send all of your questions. Your questions can be texted to this number, and that number will actually be on every slide. So if you forget the number to text your questions to, it'll be on every slide. You can see that number. And then you can get your questions in right there. So if you have questions, where are you sending them to? 903. Yeah, there you go. That's the number. Make sure you keep that handy for you so you can, if you have any questions as we're talking, that's where they go. And then we've got another sponsor as well.
Oops. Yes, it's me. I'm sorry we had to meet like this. I'm here to give you an intervention. You see, you just inquired about a push-up muscle shirt. Take a moment and ask yourself, do I really want this? Do girls really like artificially placed body muscles? Is using this shirt dishonest? Should I place a garment on my body that will hold up my loose skin in muscular positions? Am I smarter than the brain? And why is this man talking to me not wearing any shoes? The answer to all these questions is obviously no, no, yes, no, maybe, and I gave my shoes to a homeless dog to chew on because I'm nice. Go to your shopping store and buy this new Old Spice body spray for your body. It's time to grow up and start making adult decisions. We all make mistakes. No, we don't.
Those are actually some of my favorite courses. So obviously we're not sponsored. That was a lie. Sorry. Will you please forgive me for lying to you? All right, great, good. I just wanted to get that out of the way first. Here's the reality of it. We watched two commercials. These two commercials both presented health and fitness, but neither one of them were selling health and fitness. One was selling car insurance. The other one was selling a body spray. And here's the image that they were putting out to you. Hey, if you make decisions the way that we tell you to make decisions, this is how people are going to see you. You see, the world is feeding you a lie. The world is telling you you are your image. This is what the world says. The world says you are how you appear to other people regardless of how you feel inside. You see, the world's not worried about your health. It's worried about you buying into your image and thus buying into them. Your world is lying to you and it's seeking to steal from you. It's trying to get you to put your investment into something that inevitably will rob you. It's like my friend. So I had a friend actually this weekend tell me the story that they were trying to build their wealth portfolio, right? They were going to make investments in different things. And they turned to me and they were like, legitimately said, I put this X amount of money in Bitcoins. Some of you don't know what Bitcoins are. And that's because literally he put his money in Bitcoins. He fell asleep, and the next morning he woke up, and he lost half of his money. This is the same thing the world is trying to get you to do. The world is saying you are your image. This is not a new message either. This isn't something that all of a sudden just happened. And like, hey, with the invention of social media and TV and commercials and magazines and all this stuff, we're going to try and get people to buy into their image. This has been happening since before your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. And you see it actually in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. If you don't have your Bible, then hopefully you can read. Because we have it on the screen. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this. To give you a little bit of background, Samuel was like commissioned by God to go find the next king of Israel. And so he goes to where God told him, and he's got all these people in front of him. And chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" You see, this story is not new to us. It was happening back before David was king of Israel. And Samuel was going to find a king, and he saw this massive man in front of him, and he thought, this must be the king, because he looks like he could wreck shop in a fight. He looks like a king. He's taller than everybody else. He looks stronger than everybody else. He looks like he could take care of us. This has got to be our king. This has got to be where we place our worth and our value. And God said, no. You're looking the way the world looks at everything else. And here's the trick. The world is going to steal from you. It's going to steal from you. And so, what we have to do is we have to combat what the world is telling us with what Scripture actually says. See, the world tells us you are your image, something that fades away with time, something that's literally going to decay. And God says, no, I've created you in my image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says this. This is God talking to himself. Like the Trinity, not like the crazy person. But this is God talking to himself, and he says this. He says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You see, God has created you in his image and thus given you a way to last forever. We've wrecked it with the way that we sin and rebel against him. But he's saying, hey, you're not your image that fades. You're connected to something greater than yourself. You're a representative of my image, of my people, of my glory. And so the world is trying to get you to buy into the fact that you are your image. And the way that they communicate that is they say, your image is your value. Now, this has gotten more nuanced than it was when David was king. This has gotten so much more nuanced because we've had the invention of social media and those things. And the way that the world is communicating your value to you right now is it's saying, hey, you are how many likes your last picture got. You are how many followers you have on social media. You are if this person retweeted your last retweet, then you are that valuable. If you got 10 likes on your last photo, then you're a value of 10 likes. If you got this many retweets on your last tweet, then you are that valuable. And here's the reality of it. It's communicating a value that is not constant. It's communicating a value that fluctuates within a span of 10 minutes. It's communicating a value that's not true. And so when we seek to find our value in our image, we seek to find value in a currency that is forfeit or fraudulent. It's like getting a fake $100 bill. The way that it looks like is this. So there is this girl, she's in Tennessee. And I just read a book that posted her comments in her article recently. And she literally, from 14 till when she was a senior, tried to develop Instagram fame, an internet fame. And so what she would do is she would spend hours prepping for her shots. And she would spend hours trying to make the videos the best and most provocative. And she ended up getting 500,000 followers. Like, internet success. And what she ended up coming to at the end of that was she said she hated herself by the time it was all said and done. She deleted all of her accounts. She said she became less authentic, more depressed, and more anxious because she's running after something that's never going to give her what she needs. And to be really honest, our world communicates a value that's so fake that they themselves have to contort it. Dove had a great commercial not too long ago, and this commercial illustrated how fake the image that they present to you actually is. And yet, they tell us to chase this image. So if we've got that commercial, throw it there. Do we have it? Oh, we don't have it. All right, no, well, never mind. I didn't have it in the last one. I thought I might have it in this one. This actually has this woman who goes through hours of makeup, and then they take her picture, and then what they end up doing is they take it into a computer program. They literally change the position and the size of her eyes. They take her head, and they stretch her neck, and she looks nothing like what the person who took the picture was, and this is the value. This is the image they tell you to chase. And it's constantly changing with time. And it's something that you can never attain, and it's something that when you do attain it, like the girl in the article we talked about earlier, you find that it leaves you empty and flat. But here's what God says. God says, I have determined your value. God says, I have determined your value. The scripture says, God determines your value. And here's where it says that God determines your value. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. If you got your Bibles, you can flip on over there. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. As you guys are flipping there, let me ask you this. What determines the value of an object? This is literally something I want you to answer. What determines the value of an object? Yeah, exactly. The thing that determines the value of an object is what someone is willing to pay for that object. And so if you came to Christmas Eve service, you heard the sermon by Todd, and he talked about the Jesus painting that originally went for $10 until people found out who actually painted it. And then in the last auction that it went for like $500 million. And the reality of it is, how much was the painting worth when it sold for $10? Yeah, it was worth $10. How much was the painting worth when it sold for $500 million? $500 million. Because the value is worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it. And here's what God says to you. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, he says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. What price did God spend for you? This is literally a question I'm asking. What price did God spend for you? Yeah. We heard about it last night. Jesus endured the cross for you. Guys, that is a much higher value than somebody clicking a like button on your Instagram page or your Snapchat. And yet we compromise who we are for something that is less. And it doesn't make sense. And so if your whole goal is to work out, is to starve yourself, is to slave over and sweat over an account that hopefully somebody will like, you've missed how valuable you are. And you sold yourself for something much cheaper. But God says, no, this is the value that you have. And so don't settle for what the world tells you. Don't settle for the image that it's trying to sell you. Be who I've created you to be. And it ends with such a great line. It says, so glorify God with your body. And this is the million-dollar question. How do I glorify God with my body? He commanded us to. He commands us, glorify God with your body. And so how do I do that? What does that look like? Where do I go? The first thing I would take you to is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Some of you guys have this memorized. Some of you guys maybe know the first part of it, like 8 and 9. But if we're going to glorify God with our body, then we're going to have to do what actually he calls us to do. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. It says, for we are his workmanship. The word workmanship actually in a translated like would mean masterpiece, work of art, or like a tool that he's designed and shaped. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. The reality of it is that to glorify God with our body, he's designed us to work and to do these works to glorify him and to bring him praise. And so how are you stewarding your body for these works? How are we doing this? Are we actually engaging what he's called us to engage in? Are we actually stepping into those works? And guys, these works, like they're not just conversations, they're actual physical acts. It looks like you looking for a way to serve the people around you and engaging in those acts. Like, so it goes into 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8, this is a letter that Paul is writing to his, he calls him his spiritual son. And in 1 Timothy 4:8, he says this, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. But hear that, physical training is of some value because this physical training goes into the works that he set up for you beforehand. So like, you kind of have this spectrum that you're sitting on. It is, hey, I don't want to work out to gain this image, to gain likes, to gain popularity. But I do need to work out because God set up good works ahead of time for me to engage in. And physical training is of some value. Some of that value is this. I read a study recently that was talking about depression and anxiety and how depression and anxiety can actually be fought with physical exercise. And here's where that depression and anxiety comes from. It comes from us sitting in a space where we're constantly looking at, does someone like what I posted? And when they don't, in a certain amount of time, I take it down and I enter into this cycle of feeling like a failure. And I enter into this space of feeling like I've missed it, of feeling like I've lost. When in reality, what he calls us to do is use our bodies for what it's designed for, to get out and do work. And when we exercise, when we do that work, it releases hormones and chemicals in our brain to fight that same depression and anxiety because you're doing what you were created to do. It also looks like this. So this past Tuesday, one of the things that our church does is it allows us this extended time in God's word. So like, hey, they're like, hey, come into work a little bit later, go somewhere, get in the word, read scripture, think about who God is and what he's done in your life, journal, write poetry, do whatever. And so whenever I get that time, the first thing you're gonna find me is you're gonna find me by a body of water. Like I'm looking for the nearest lake, pond, or pool, which is really weird when I jump into somebody's backyard and next to their swimming pool. They usually get upset. That doesn't actually happen. But so like as I was driving to the place that I wanted to go, as I was driving to this, I like had my spot in my mind. I knew where I wanted to go. I'm driving there. And in my car, I'm coming up to this red light. And so I'm slowing down, getting ready to stop. And I see this other car, like a small SUV, moving really slowly through the intersection. And at first, I'm like, okay, they're obviously having some kind of car trouble because no car was meant to move that slow. And then as I look closer, it's like I see something kind of around the wheel. And so I'm like, oh, they have a flat tire. And so they're like slowing down, trying to get into a gas station, hoping not to ruin their room. And then I get closer and I realize, no, this is a woman dressed in full black workout gear next to her black car, pushing her car through the intersection. Now, here's the thing about this intersection. It was sloped, and she's going up the slope. And it's rush hour, and she's about halfway through, and she cannot push it any further. And she kind of leans against her car in frustration and failure. And I'm sure all she's thinking about right now is, what is everybody else at this intersection thinking? I'm slowing them down. I'm keeping them from going to work. Nobody's honked yet, but I know that's coming. And I can't move this car any further. And now here's the deal. I enjoy working out. I enjoy doing CrossFit. I enjoy functional fitness as much as the next person. And I see this woman, and the immediate thing that I think of is, I can help. I've stewarded my body in a way that I can meet someone else's need. And so I put on my hazard lights, I stop my car, I get out, I run up to her car, and I say, hey, jump in and steer, I got you. And I push the car from behind, she steers the car into a gas station, and then I get to have a gospel conversation with her. You see, physical fitness is of some value. It allows us to engage the people around us in a way that lets us speak the gospel into their life. But if we're not investing in that, then we're stealing ourselves an opportunity to talk about who God is and what he's done. Physical fitness is of some value. Where are you on that value? Are you saying, no, I'm not my image, and so I'm just going to sit on the couch all day? Or are you saying, hey, I need to steward my body well so that I can have the same kind of impact in the lives of the people around me? And at the end of the day, physical fitness does have some value. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, so this literally used to be my workout verse before I actually, before I knew what it meant. And I was always just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to beat my body and make it my slave. And that's not what he's talking about here. I mean, it kind of is, but at the same time, it's not. So 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27 say this. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. And this is, so if you have a New American Standard version, it says this. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You see, here's the deal. Through exercise, we get to exercise. We get to experience pushing our body past something that it thought it couldn't do. We get to experience taking control of our body, and when we're tempted to quit, saying, no, I'm not going to quit. And if we're thinking rightly, when we are tempted by that sin that we think we can't get rid of, we can draw from that same experience of saying, no, I am not my temptation. I can walk in freedom in Christ. I will choose to focus on Christ and not the pain of the temptation that is pulling me towards what I know will kill me. We have an opportunity to fight sin in the way that we exercise. But it doesn't mean that, look, exercising is not going to free you from your addiction. Only Jesus can do that. But exercise can give us a window into a way to fight against that. Does that make sense? You guys with me on that? Sweet. And so, where are you? Are you buying into image? Or are you running from any kind of work at all and not stewarding your body well? Or are you somewhere in the middle trying to figure out how to do this better? You're going to have a chance to ask those questions in just a second. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite three of my good friends to come up here and talk to you guys and share with you what they know. If you have questions, make sure you've been texting them in. If you just thought and remembered now, oh, yeah, I can text my questions in, I'm going to give you license while I pray. You can text. It's okay. But let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because, Lord, you gave us our bodies to honor you. You gave us people who know how to exercise to help steward our bodies in a way that would honor and glorify you. And so, Lord, change our hearts now. Help us not to think about ourselves, but to think about how we can glorify you with the way that we use and steward our bodies. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. So if you, I just sat on a water bottle. Here we go. So if you have questions, make sure you text them in. Rebe Long is over there. She's going to be, so most of you guys know who Rebe Long is. She's a health and fitness expert.
I am so not. That's such a joke. But hey, I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah.
I've heard it twice now, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I don't really get it, but I'm getting there.
Hey, but we love you.
I also love seeing the questions because I'm like, yeah. In the last one, I said, where is the quad? And they explained that.
Yeah.
So if you're, text that in if you also need to know what a burpee is.
If you need to know where the quad is.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the kinds that you ride.
So I'm the right moderator.
Right next to Rebe is Hayden. He's a good friend of mine from the Plano campus.
Go,
this
go,
guy.
People already want to know what everybody can bench. I think that was the question. How much can you lift?
So there you go. What's
your
bench?
I'm going to answer that one.
I think most people actually want to know how much this guy can bench. This is Trey O'Neill. He's also from the Plano campus. Maggie is his daughter. She's right there. Trey is a teacher and a coach, and he also trains a lot of athletes on the side. He's just a really good dude who loves the Lord and stewards his temple really well. And then Becca is on staff here. Yeah. I'm assuming that's your entire small group. Yeah, all right, good deal. So Becca is one of the ones who has started the Well program here at Watermark for the people who are on staff. And it's a way to help people exercise, steward their body well, excuse me, and also teach them like about fitness and nutrition and things like that. So these are our panel. Ask away.
Daniel, will you answer how much you can bench?
Yeah. So I haven't maxed out in a bench press in a long time. But the last time I did it, I was doing sets of 12 at 275.
Yeah, big boy.
That a lot? That feels like that's a lot based on everybody's reaction. Last time I couldn't lift the bar.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Bah. You're close, Rebe.
I'm so close.
You're close.
I was like, okay, I'll look at it. Okay, so here are kind of the first questions. How do I, and Trey, this might be great for you, how do I honor God as an athlete, like on my sports team?
Yeah,
that is a great question. That came up in the last hour. I do work with a lot of primarily high school, as far as from a training sense, a lot of high school athletes that are going on to play ball, baseball, football, at the next level, at a high level. And the biggest thing I see is temptation, where I like to encourage my guys is the temptation to promote their own interest, to highlight their careers, what they are able to do on the court or on the field. And my encouragement to those guys, I mean, I get it. I want to say, first of all, right off the bat, Daniel did a great job. I'm biased. He's a great buddy of mine. We used to coach together. But I'll confess to you right from the outset that pretty much everything he hit on, I've struggled with. It's been very much a struggle for me, and primarily in athletics, became an idol for me. But so my encouragement to my guys is to use the gifts that God has given you, to take them seriously, to steward them well in a balanced sense, but to use them as a platform to point others to Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, it does give them an opportunity. They are being watched. I'm in a school setting. they're being watched by those younger than them. They have a testimony even outside the school in a broad sense. And every message, in a sense, every message that you are sent, the race for a scholarship, the race for a contract, all those things are very tempting to get you to talk about yourself, to highlight yourself. And I would just say, keep it in perspective. From a practical sense, understand that one hit, one wrong step, and your career could be gone in a second. It could be done that fast. And that comes to what's your character like? What do you have to fall back on? Your relationship with the Lord, where does your security lie? Is it in your ability to shoot a basket, to hit a baseball, to run, you know, speed? Is it that? Or is it in who you are in Christ Jesus? And that's, as Daniel mentioned, Ephesians 2:10. So keeping it in perspective, using what God's given you as a platform. And I don't want to steal Daniel's thunder, but the same question came up last hour, and I'm going to pass off to him. I want you to talk about.
I mean, you can steal it if you want. Before I came on to Watermark staff, I spent 8 years teaching and coaching at the junior high level, where all the elite athletes are. And so one of the things I have found is this. As an athlete, people know who you are in your school. And so when Trey is talking about your platform, he's not talking about when a reporter comes up to you and asks you about the game. He's talking about, what are you doing in the hallway? Because if you're being a jerk in the hallway, nobody cares what you believe. They might be thankful that you're on your team and help your team win, but to be really honest, depending on how much of a jerk you are, they probably would rather lose a couple of games and have you gone. But if you're an athlete who looks to serve other people, now see, that's different. And that's something that they're not used to. And that's something that gives you a springboard into talking about who God is and what he's gifted you with and how great he is. It changes the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, if you have personal questions for the people up here on their abilities, let's ask them after. Okay, getting a lot of those? We're not going to go through.
Hey, Trey, how much do you squat?
Yeah, if you have those questions, come ask them. They'd love to tell you. Okay,
love to.
Here's one that's kind of combining a couple. So how do I maintain a strong relationship with the Lord? Or what's an appropriate balance of, hey, I need to devote this kind of amount of time to physical exercise or sports and practices and games demand this much, and how do I balance that with spiritual development? Like, what should striking a balance be, and just how do you manage that?
Yeah, that is a battle that is that I fight weekly, frankly, in a packed schedule. So good balance is simply, for me, it comes down to, I'm willing to devote this much time in the gym or doing whatever I'm doing from an exercise training standpoint. Am I giving the Lord that much time day to day? If you break down my week, how much time am I spending abiding, walking with the Lord, letting him go to work on me in strategy sessions as opposed to training? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it comes down to my discretionary time, TV, radio. I got a 30-minute commute, so it is planning times, knowing what each day looks like, and being very intentional with prioritizing, I'd say, above all else. You're not going to have a healthy view of yourself and the body God has given you if you don't spend time with him. So to me, it all starts there. Yeah. And Hayden may have.
Yeah, so was the heart of the question, how do you balance like the spiritual disciplines with the physical ones?
Kinda. Yeah, yeah. And how do you even decide time that you're devoting to
them? And I don't think the two have to be mutually exclusive. I mean, I'll say for myself, the times where I feel that I'm most on fire for the Lord and my relationship with him is the strongest are times where I'm taking care of my body. The days where I sleep in and miss a workout or something, that carries over to the rest of my day. And those are typically days where my mind is not thinking of higher things, and I can probably point to those days and say I didn't get in the Word on those days either. So I do think that there's a synergy there.
Yeah. Okay, here's feels like maybe kind of some female questions, but does healthy mean skinny? That's just because I feel like boys are in here to go like, how do I get stronger? But what would you say to that? Does healthy mean skinny?
One, love that question. It's a huge part of my story. So I said this in the last session. That's a huge part of my background. I grew up and I just looked different than other girls. And so I had bigger quads.
Quads are above your knee. It's on your leg and it's above your knee.
I had bigger quads. I was called fat growing up. And I chose, this is not about what other people did to me. I chose to believe that what they were saying about me was true. I chose to believe what Daniel talked to y'all about, hey, the world determines like your image. And so I bought into that hook, line, and sinker. And so I told this little story in the last session. I was getting my personal trainer certification at Cooper, and they sat there and they literally said, hey, at conception, your DNA is hardwired with a certain type of muscle fibers. There's different muscle fibers. There's type one. Those are like the long cross-country athletes that they can just run for days and days, and they just look beautiful doing it. And then there's the people with type 2 A and B muscle fibers, the people that move with purpose and power. And all my life I wanted to be, have those type 1, lots of those, and just look a certain way and be really skinny. But that's not the way the Lord created me. And so I'm supposed to steward the way the Lord created me and my body, not the body I want. And so the question is like, hey, is being healthy being skinny? No. And if you want to come and talk to me after that, like I'm fired up about it, but no, it's about stewarding the way your body, the way the Lord created you and the way he designed you.
So Becca, kind of another question with a female perspective. So stewarding our bodies, when we're working out, this question says at the gym, but let's just even say, hey, girls' athletics practices on this half of the court, boys on this half. Like, what is a God-honoring way to dress? And then even if I'm somebody who posts about my workouts on social media, do I need to be dressed a certain way if I'm going to post, you know, this kind of workout, or what is helpful? And maybe, guys, if y'all want to chime in too, of like, hey, this isn't helpful when I see that in the gym.
Ken? Y'all can punch me in the face if you want to. I'm going to say modest is hottest.
Yeah.
When I heard that growing up, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But the question that I would then throw back to you guys is like, hey, what's your heart behind?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in an all-girls spin class. Like, they're all wearing sports bras and leggings. Like, I can too. Like, hey, what's your heart in that? And so I just think of two things that I would answer that question with is like scripture says that you are aliens, so you're not supposed to be like the rest of the world, and that you're ambassadors for Christ. And so, hey, if another girl sees you or another guy sees you and you're dressed a certain way, are they going to be seeing Christ first and foremost? Or are they going to be seeing you and your washboard abs? I was literally just telling Daniel there's this Fabletics commercial about this girl like doing the Stairmaster, and she looks over next to her and she's like, oh, I wish I had that booty. Is that the word to say?
Or butt.
And she said that. And then she realized, she looked at herself in the mirror and she was like, that's me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So typically, I would ask, hey, what's the heart behind that? Are you wanting to look good? Yeah. Are you wanting to sell something? What's up, you know?
Yeah, I think it all goes. So if you're talking about what I should or shouldn't wear, I think it really comes back to like, what is your goal behind putting those clothes on? Most of the time, it's like if you're putting on something that you're like, I don't know, you're probably wanting to be seen. And so then whose glory are you living for at that point? Like, this is guys, girls, or, you know, the dog that you dress in a weird sweater. Like, what you choose to wear or not wear probably has a pretty direct influence or a pretty like correlation of whose glory you're living for. And so guys, if you're wearing the super deep cutoff shirts so that you can see that side view of those abs, man, like you're trying to draw attention to yourself as opposed to drawing attention to the Lord.
I had scripture there and I forgot to mention it too, of just like 1 Peter 3:3-4. It talks about, hey, outward adornment, right? Mm-hmm. But I love the second part of that verse. It says, but let the adorning be hidden, the hidden person of the heart, which is imperishable beauty, beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And so I think about that. I think about I was told, hey, by other older godly men, hey, for this is specifically for women, hey, you are never more attractive when you know who you're loved by. So are you loved by people or are you loved by the Lord? And so what are you chasing after? Do you have a gentle and quiet spirit or are you pushing for something that is outside of what God would have for you?
Can I get on a soapbox for a second too?
We just don't have so much time.
Okay, never mind. We'll keep moving.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
Sorry to be that. Okay, hey, so question is, what do I say to family members who maybe I feel like aren't prioritizing health and wellness? And then what do I say to friends who are, in my opinion, you know, being obsessive, that image is everything or the workout is everything or with the food that they're putting in, they can't just relax on that.
I'm going to let Trey go. I'm wrestling with that one myself right now.
So it's kind of like, hey, what if I have family members that maybe aren't prioritizing health and wellness? So they didn't say this, but let's say you have a parent that you're like, I'm worried that they're not maintaining health. And so how do I kind of lead up, motivate there? And then what if on the other end of the spectrum, I have a friend, I'm combining two different questions. I have a friend that's maybe obsessive on the, like, they care too much maybe.
Yeah. I can speak to the first one in particular. I think the key there is, your relationship with that person. I've talked to family members about that, close friends. If I felt like they weren't stewarding what God had given them well. So a lot of it kind of has to do with the level of relationship you have with them. But I would say a key there is just practically be very soft. Maybe even set aside a dedicated time, sometimes off the cuff. Conversations like that, in my experience, haven't gone real well because basically I've blown it doing things like that. But a dedicated time set aside to talk about that and address it. So I would say lead very soft from a place where you and own anything that you can own in that way. Talk about maybe the struggles that you have had. I've approached it that way before, and it's been more successful that way when it's intentional, when it's done softly, and leading from maybe your own brokenness in that area. I think are just practical points there.
And I think for the other end of the spectrum, maybe it's less about what you say and more about just like asking good open-ended questions. Like, hey, brother, I noticed you're spending 2 hours every day working out. Can you just tell me about why you've prioritized that so highly in your life? And I think questions can really dig a lot of things out.
I would chime in there too, just saying most of the time whenever somebody goes to an extreme one way or the other, it's because there's some type of hurt there. There's some type of emotional scar or something like that that have caused them to run to that as a form of self-medicating or run to that as a form of like identity. And so it would be a really good conversation to have to them of just like, hey, how did we end up here? Like why? My wife loves watching, boy, she's going to hate that I say this. My wife loves watching My 600-Pound Life. And the reason why she watches it is because she realizes, like, she watches how people are dealing with their hurt. Most of those people have some kind of emotional scarring that has led them to doing what they've done to their body and pursuing fulfillment away from people and towards food. And the opposite can be true as well. Away from honoring God towards trying to honor yourself with the way that you look. Away from honoring God towards trying to satisfy every desire you ever have by shoving whatever you think you want to eat into your mouth. But most of it comes down to some kind of hurt that they've experienced.
Okay, we are almost at time. I'm going to ask just to wrap us, maybe these were questions from last time that were really great. Becca, if you want to talk about maybe balance diet and sleep, because questions we had last time were like, hey, food is fuel. So should I be on Whole30? Should I be on paleo? Should I be a vegan? A lot of people are asking that. And then Trey, can you give your, hey, just if there were 8 minutes to work out, give them the rundown of what that would be. That's a good bit. And Hayden, anything else you want to say? Is your last sign up now?
So I'm by no means a nutritionist, so like at all. So, but I always take it back to the Lord. And so for me, what I put in my mouth very much has to do what's going on in my heart. And so I told the last group this, but my go-to on a bad day is a Brahms Double Dip Mint Chocolate Chip in Rocky Road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But guess when I'm going to that? When I've had a bad day and I'm choosing to say in that moment, hey, this ice cream cone, this will fill me in this moment. Or I'll go the opposite way and I'll be like, hey, this workout here in this moment is going to make me feel better instead of the Lord. And so I think of that. I think we got of just the, if the goal of a believer is intimacy with Christ, is that ice cream cone or is counting all those calories, is that hindering or helping your relationship and your intimacy with Christ? Chances are it's not. And so that's the huge thing there. It's you're enslaving yourself to something of this world when Christ says, no, I've come to set you free, Galatians 5. And so you have to choose to ask yourself, hey, what's going on in my heart when I fuel my body? Sometimes I sit around and I eat an ice cream cone with my small group, and it's awesome. We had Rice Krispies last night, and it was so great. But sometimes I'm like, no, I need to die to myself here. I need to go and eat a salad too. So it's, you have to question, hey, what's going on in your heart and what would honor God the most?
Yeah. Okay. So real quick, before we get to the 8 minutes in glory workout, hey, two takeaways that I would be remiss if I didn't say, just the Lord laid on my heart back there listening to Daniel taking notes. Two takeaways from my perspective for you: balance, nutrition, rest, and exercise. Do all of that in balance. When those things are in balance, you maximize your ministry. You maximize your impact. Secondly, I live in a world of athletes, sports, middle school and high school sports. And there's a saying, sometimes when you see a guy, you're like, you know, that guy looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Anybody ever heard that?
Okay. This is not an insult to female athletes.
No, not at all, not at all. But that is a saying, and that just speaks to somebody looking the part and not being the part. And I would say from my perspective, man, the world tells you look this way, be this way. And, man, what you really are, your character that is developed from walking with the Lord, that is what it's really all about. As Daniel talked about with King David out there in the field, he was – man, maybe he didn't look the part, but that guy had the heart, and the Lord knew that. Now, 8 minutes. Okay, so this question came up last time. Practical workout you can knock out in 8 minutes, okay? So everybody knows what push-ups are, yep. Yes. Bodyweight squats are, yep. Yes. Burpees, yep. Yes. V-ups or X-ups, yes? Yes? Okay, so 8 minutes. You start your stopwatch. Get out your iPhone. And start your stopwatch. You're going to go 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off for 8 minutes. There you go, right there. Somebody just said it. Yeah, so for the first 20 seconds, body weight squats as many as you can. Rest 10 seconds. For the next set of 20 seconds, you go burpees as many as you can. 10 seconds off, back to the squats for 20. 10 seconds, back to the burpees. Do that for 4 minutes. Everybody with me? You guys with me? And then for the second 4 minutes, don't rest. Second 4 minutes, go push-ups for 20 seconds, rest 10, and then V-ups. V-ups. Carter, you want
to? Carter, do a V-up.
Come on, Carter, do a V-up. Hey, basically, lay on your back. Lay on your back. I tell guys, close your body like a bear trap, fingers to toes. So reach up, get your upper back off the floor. Go, come up as fast
like
as you can.
Like a sit-up and a leg lift all at the same time.
As hard as you can, yeah.
It's like the worst sit-up you've ever done in your
entire
life.
Haven't tried it, just saw it happen.
So the second round of 4 minutes, the second set of 4 minutes, rotate 20 on, 10 off.
It'd be embarrassing.
Mixing the push-ups with the V-ups. 8 minutes of that, you'll be good. You'll do more work than most people do in a week, I promise. Woo.
And then balance it out with a Brahms double dip.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's freedom.
That's awesome.
Okay. Hey, and just one last practical, and then they're going to hang out up here, so you can come ask everybody what their vertical is and all the other terms I don't know. Hayden, how do you stay motivated to go, hey, I want to make a healthy choice. I want to go to bed early. I want to work out. Did I skip
someone? I just want to say one other thing. He just gave that 8-minute workout. I would not do that. Like me personally, I would have zero motivation to do that by myself. And so a huge thing is like get friends to do it with you. And so that's an awesome workout that he just gave you. Tonight at the after party, I should see some workouts in community together. So yeah.
Hayden, how do you stay motivated?
Yeah. So question was, how do you stay? What is it? Motivated and yeah, motivated and consistent. That was it. So I would say, yeah, not just for fitness, but for anything. Like to me, the two words that I kept thinking of was like ownership and community. So my community group, the guys talk about this all the time. Like nobody's going to own your spiritual discipline for you. Like you have to wake up and own it yourself. And I mean, that's true of fitness as well. Like nobody's going to get you up out of bed. Like you got to get you up out of bed and go do that. But it's a lot easier to do that when you're in community with people. One, because they're going to get on you when you don't show up. But like the guys that I work out with in the morning, like I like hanging out with them. And so it's like easy for me to get up and go work out with Trey at 5 o'clock in the morning because like he's my bro and it's fun. So it's a lot easier.